The NFL never sleeps.
Every play, man. Another opportunity to be great.
The grind is 24/7, 365.
Let's go! Let's go!
Fit, no.
The roster is ever-evolving.
Find it. Get in there. He's in there. Whoa! Let's go!
And it's all about finding the edge.
Big run, angling left, 40. He's at the 30. Down the near sideline, 20. 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Kenny Moore racing for the end zone. 10, 5, touchdown, INDY.
Richardson going to take off on a quarterback draw. He's at the 10. He's at the 5. Untouched into the end zone.
This is The Last Word, the offseason home of the Indianapolis Colts. Now, here's Jeffrey Gorman and Matt Taylor.
Welcome into The Last Word, offseason radio show right here of your Colts, airing every Friday on 93.5 and 107.5. The Fan, I'm Jeffrey Gorman. Joined by Matt Taylor, voice of the Colts. Mate, we heard it last night. Liatu Latu came off the board.
Indeed.
We were out at Topgolf out there in Fishers having a nice draft party. That was fun last night, but there's more work to do. Mate, first impressions. We got a lot to go over today. We're talking to Ian Cummings from Pro Football Network. But what do you think? Liatu Latu, a havoc creator is what I hear. He creates havoc.
Absolutely. First defensive player off the board last night. Well, I know we're going to get into that. Obviously, going all the way down to pick number 15. And, you know, as far as that is concerned, Jeffrey, I'm a little bit surprised, to be honest with you, just because, you know, the last few years we've seen the Colts draft their biggest perceived need. And heading into this draft, it was wide receiver and cornerback. But I just think the way the first round shook out and pushed Latu down to the Colts, they couldn't pass him up based on the way they had him graded. So 14 offensive players in front of the Colts, all those quarterbacks, all those receivers, a few offensive linemen, maybe in another draft, Latu is well off the board by pick 15. But the Colts got the first and, by their opinion, the best defensive player in this draft, which might end up being the best play considering they had their pick of the litter on defense. And then the offensive side of the ball is still really deep with good pass catchers and receivers starting tonight in round number two.
Yeah, we're going to find out. Liatu Latu is the 15th overall pick last night. Don't forget about this. He tallied 24 sacks and 126 total pressures over his final two seasons with UCLA. I'm just looking at this roster. We talked about it ad nauseum. We got 22 starters back on both sides of the ball. What sort of instant difference maker can Latu be, Matt Taylor?
Well, I think he can be just that, and I think that he needs to be. I mean, Chris Ballard talked about, I mean, last night at the end of the first round, talked about how polished this guy is, how refined he is. He's got, you know, a variety of sophisticated pass rush moves, and he was asked to do a lot of different things at UCLA within their defense. As you said, he led the nation in tackles for loss last year with 22.5, 23.5 sacks over the past two seasons, which is the nation's top total in college football. Based on where he was picked for the Colts, they need him to acclimate really well and really fast. But it sounds like the learning curve for him is not going to be too steep. Again, for the Colts' money, this is their best overall defensive player that they had rated in the entire draft. And he plays a premier position. Pass rush is a premium position. He has to come in and solidify, which is already a really good pass rush unit the Colts have.
Let's don't forget, Kwity Paye is one of those guys that plays a similar position, obviously. And on the other side, Samson Ebukam, a guy they went out of the out of their way a little bit in free agency and signed him a year ago. So what does that look like? What does his depth chart look like? What sort of is he a specialist? Is he going to be a third down only type of guy?
Oh, no.
What do you think about Latu? Because we got more coming up on him, and I'll have a good comparison later on in the show when we talk to Ian Cummings.
Yeah.
But what do you think, Matt?
I think right now it's probably the deepest group the Colts have had along their defensive line since 2017, dating back to when Chris Ballard got here. It's last season, 51 sacks. They had four players with at least eight sacks on the season. This might be kind of that finishing piece, or the piece that puts the Colts over the top, right? Somebody that can take that group to the next level and really complement DeForest Buckner and Grover Stewart on the inside. I mean, the Colts were looking for that in free agency. I mean, Chris Ballard talked about that again last night and openly pursuing Danielle Hunter, but couldn't land him in free agency back in March. So I think the Colts believe that Latu's the guy that can take this group to the next level and get more pressures, get more consistent hurries throughout the course of the game. I mean, Jeffrey, if you go back to week 18 between the Colts and the Texans, C.J. Stroud in that game, he was sacked twice and hit three times and was rarely under fire. Hopefully this solidifies a strong unit and it's a premium position that takes the Colts' pass rush to new heights against a really good quarterback slate the Colts are going to have to face next year.
Liatu Latu was the 15th overall pick, once again, out of UCLA. Mate played at Washington, the big university in the Northwest, and then sat for 2 years. There is a medical history here. It's called neck fusion surgery. I'm familiar with it. I had it, but he was cleared, obviously, and that's what some of
the perfect guy to talk about.
Some of these teams, and I think there were seven of them, I think I read somewhere on the internet that they kind of passed on that because of a fusion type surgery. But I tell you what, I'm not playing football, pro football, for a living like that. But I mean, an incredible surgery for me if you're talking about being free of pain. But when you talk about an NFL player doing that, Mate, there was some red flags from other teams on this. What are you hearing about the medical history?
Well, I mean, the Colts don't seem to be too concerned about it. I mean, they did their due diligence. And, you know, Chris, again, Friday night said, I asked a million questions about it. I got all the answers that I needed regarding that. And I get it. I mean, anytime you talk about neck fusions, you know, you get a little squeamish. But, you know, the same doctor that performed Peyton Manning's neck did Latu's.
Right.
And, you know, since then, he's had a clean bill of health. I mean, he literally has not missed a game the last 2 years since that surgery at UCLA. I mean, he insisted that it was kind of a, not a misunderstanding, but, you know, the world was way more complicated 4 years ago during COVID. That's
sure.
When all this went down in 2020. It was kind of hard to get medicals done properly just because of the state of the world and everything. So I just think that it's all good, and it really hasn't prevented him from being a beast since he transferred from Washington to UCLA. As you said, this is one of the best defensive players in all of college football the last 2 years.
He ended up later enrolling at UCLA in 2022. Didn't miss a game. Important. Very difficult and almost unblockable. That's what you're getting with Liatu Latu, the 15th overall pick in the first round of the NFL draft. And don't forget rounds 2 and 3 coming up in a few hours from right now. And we've got you covered. We'll go into that later, Mate. Don't forget Colts owner and CEO Jim Irsay. He's bringing back the $1 million schedule challenge. One contestant will win $1 million by correctly predicting the Colts' entire 18-week schedule for the 24 regular season. Contest runs through April 30th. Only one per entry contestant is allowed. Fans may enter at colts.com/win. Mate, are we getting a winner this year?
No.
I know, it's tough, man.
But you do get a hellacious consolation
yes,
prize.
Yes, you do. I'm just saying, that's a tough one. That's like trying to win the Powerball. But listen, speaking of Powerball, hopefully the Colts fans, you're all behind Chris Ballard and his pick. We may have hit that Powerball with Liatu Latu. We're going to find out more about him and continue to break down the NFL draft. We're going to do that with Ian Cummings from the NFL draft analyst from the Pro Football Network. I love this cat. He eats, breathes, and sleeps football. We are the Last Word right here on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
I'm someone that can be comfortable in any uncomfortable situation. That's how I look at pass rush, and I got a bunch of moves in my repertoire. I mean, I have 3 main moves, but I make sure that I dial down with a lot of moves because, you know, you never know what's going to come out of you come game time. I mean, that muscle memory is just going to kick in, and when you feel that uncomfortable feeling, you know, your comfortability is going to take over. That's me as a pass rusher.
I had 22 and a half sacks the last 2 years in a good conference against good players. So, yeah, I mean, we think he helps us. I mean, I think we are stable up front. It's good. We're really good up front.
We're giving you all you need to know on the Colts. This is The Last Word with Jeffrey Gorman and Matt Taylor from the Indiana Union Construction Industry Radio Studio.
Hey, Mate, we just heard from Liatu Latu and General Manager Chris Ballard right there. I love the bed, the song behind it, it's Spiral Staircase. Played for a reason today. I love you more today than I do yesterday, and I'm singing that to Liatu Latu for every day to come. I love you more today than yesterday, kid. September, I'm going to be singing it every day, too.
Welcome to Indy.
Check out that
press conference on Colts.com.
Hey, good to hear from Latu right there.
Good-looking young man, too.
Absolutely. And Colts fans, you are going to love his game. We love him more today than yesterday. Hey, don't forget, be sure to check out Behind the Colts, the team's off-season documentary-style program. Includes never-before-seen footage, unique access included to the personalities and events that shape this team. Check out Behind the Colts on all Colts social media channels, rather, as well as the Colts app and Colts.com. Now, time to get into this draft, a little bit about what's coming up and a little bit about what happened last night. We're going to do that from the ProFootballNetwork.com. Also, one of the guys I like because he eats, breathes, and lives football from the NFL draft analyst, again, from ProFootballNetwork.com. Let's say hi to Ian Cummings. Ian, when is the 25 mock draft coming out?
Yes, I'm working on it right now.
Oh, my gosh.
You would lead with that.
My hell. I mean, this 2025 draft he's getting ready for. I love it, Ian.
Hey, you always got to come prepared. That's the way it is. So I'm working on it right now. My selection should be done. I might go two rounds. We'll see.
Excellent.
Ian, thank you so much for not hanging up on us, man. I can't thank you enough for that.
I'm telling you, I'm impressed right here. Follow him again on Twitter, X at IC_draft. All right, Ian, the Colts on the clock last night. They said, okay, a lot of people were saying cornerback situation fits well. Wide receiver, another weapon for Anthony Richardson. And lo and behold, Liatu Latu from UCLA, the edge rusher. Can you give me an NFL comparison on this young man?
Yeah, my NFL comparison is Sean Merriman, played in the mid-2000s and won rookie of the year his first year out. Injuries ended up limiting his career, so that's the risk that you run with Latu. But I think with Latu, it's very interesting because he's not normally the profile of edge that the Colts normally pursue, so that's why he wasn't on my radar as a you know top-end option for them. But
yeah,
he gives them something that they haven't had for most of these recent years, and that's a high-level pass-rushing threat right out of the gate. I mean, 6'5", 260. The arm length is a little bit of a concern, but I think he's got hyper elite bend capacity to pair with his pass rush repertoire, his arsenal, it never ends. Like that's how deep this goes. Like he's such a nuanced pass rushing threat. He's got cross chops. He's got, you know, multiple counters that he can work on while bending beneath the apex and accelerating. One of the best, most venerable pass rush threats that we've seen. Mm-hmm. I think he really infuses that to the Colts. So I think he can be an immediate starter. The question is the medicals, the durability, but I think right away for a Colts team that's gearing up to compete with Anthony Richardson, I think he fits well.
Yeah, obviously Ian Latu was the Colts' top edge rusher. In fact, he was the first defensive player in the draft overall with the 15th pick. But where did you have him in your edge rush pecking order?
Yeah, so he was tied to my third edge rusher. I had Dallas Turner, and then I'm an upside guy, so Chop Robinson was big on my board. I love the hyper elite first step and the compact power that he provided. But Jared Verse and Liatu Latu were both very close to me. I ended up giving Verse the tiebreaker because of the medicals again. You know, they were very close together, so that's what, you know, caused him to edge out. Also, I think Liatu Latu's run defense is a little more inconsistent. I wanted to hold up a little better, show some better balance as a one gapper. But his pass rushing, man, you know, he was the top 25 guy, graded as a top 20 for me because of that pass rush, because of the explosion, the bend, the hand usage, some of his best traits, and some of the best traits that I've seen from the edge over the past 3 years or so. So he was very high on my board. You know, 15 was a slight reach for me just because of the uncertainty with the medicals and the run defense. But if you need an elite pass rusher, I can definitely see it.
That's Ian Cummings from the ProFootballNetwork.com. Ian, we're looking at names still available. Do you have any head scratchers of guys that are still available right now that you had going in the first round?
Not too many head scratchers. I mean, some of the guys that I wanted to go in round one, you can kind of see why they may have fallen. I know there's some potential medical issues with Johnny Newton from Illinois or Kool-Aid McKinstry from Alabama with the foot injury as well. Jackson Powers Johnson, A.D. Mitchell, you know, as well. So I think a lot of the guys that did fall, you could see the reasons behind it. Those are some of my top ones. I think Cooper DeJean is another one that I'm pretty surprised he's still on the board. I had him as a top 15 player at safety or as a cover three corner. So if you're the Colts, you run that cover three scheme with Gus Bradley, that is a phenomenal fit if they want to move up to get him or if they want to get Kool-Aid McKinstry, who's very good in zone two. Two guys who are very well-versed in coverages they like to run. So I think those are the top guys that I had on the board that I would have expected to go last night, but they ended up being available here.
Yeah, what about I want to bring up one player in particular. I did not know whether he was a first-rounder or a second-rounder. What's your take on the Keon Coleman from Florida State wide receiver?
Yeah, so he was my 37th overall player, so he was a fringe first-rounder, early second-rounder for me. You know, I think it was viable. I think if there was anyone sneaking around one, I would have guessed Xavier Leggett just because of the size-speed profile. I think Keon Coleman, what you lack in vertical speed, he makes up for with explosion and agility at his size. He's a very good rack threat with that contact balance and that agility. But then I think the route running stands to improve a little bit, and that's one reason he may have fallen. But I think he does have the building blocks there. I think he does have enough flexibility, enough leverage IQ, and targeted physicality. And then at the catch point, his basketball background shows up. He's got very good vertical athleticism. He can box guys out. One of the most, you know, authoritative catch point threats that we've seen in this class. So he was a fringe first round guy for me, but I understand why he went round two. I think you can probably stand to use him as a big slot early on to let him grow into that X role.
You know, Ian, obviously after the draft, you know, we heard from Chris Ballard talking about, hey, I'm trying to move up. I mean, he openly talked about that. He was candid in that he was on the phones. He was working trades. How surprised were you that we only saw one trade in the top 10, and really it was kind of minor with the Jets and the Vikings flopping there? What made it to the point where teams were kind of staying put, picking all these quarterbacks and these wide receivers and offensive tackles in the first round.
Yeah, it was very surprising because there was a lot of potential energy for a team like the Vikings, right? You saw them get that 23rd pick in the lead up to the draft, and it was basically like, all right, we think they're going to package those to get up and get a QB, right? And then those three QBs went right off the board, 1, 2, 3. That made you think, well, there might only be one guy that's considered in that tier, and the Vikings might have to be aggressive to get him. So it was that potential energy that made the viable argument. But now we see it in hindsight. The NFL was a lot higher on Michael Penix Jr. and Bo Nix than the media was. And that showed Penix going at number 8, Bo Nix going at number 12. And then the Vikings were able to ride it out and, you know, trade up slightly to number 10 and still get JJ. So I think part of it was the discrepancy between the media and the NFL evaluation, right? We always see the clarity on draft night, right? There's always a little bit of misalignment where you kind of see, all right, this is where we were not off a little bit, but right, where, you know, there was a lack of synergy. And I think that's kind of what it was, right? I think some of the QBs had greater value for other teams like, you know, Denver and Atlanta who were willing to wait. Then also some of the teams had a lot higher value on guys like Joe Walt, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Los Angeles, Arizona, New York. They were all willing to stay put and take them because they had needs there as well.
But all those quarterbacks, I mean, did you see 6 first-rounders? And which one is probably the biggest stretch for you?
Yeah, no, I did not. I thought it was going to be 5. I thought it was going to be 1 of Penix or Nix. I just didn't know which one because, again, it was based on schematic preference, right? I think Bo Nix is a great scheme fit for Denver. I think Michael Penix is a great scheme fit for, you know, those O'Connell, Sean McVay systems where he can be a little more of a gunslinger from inside the pocket. So, you know, I was very surprised. I think the Penix pick was definitely the biggest shock for me. You know, again, he was my 33rd overall player, so it was a reach just on the pure value board, but also – I didn't think it really fit Atlanta's timeline. You just signed Kirk Cousins to a bit hefty deal, right? 3-year. You know, I would have stepped forward with him in that stretch. They're
right,
going to, but you could have added a player to help you win now.
No doubt.
Overall, you could have taken Rome Odunze to pair him with Drake London. That's a very, very dangerous wide receiver tandem. You could have taken Dallas Turner, Latu if you liked him, right? So many different ways they could have gone to help the team win now with Kirk Cousins. This is a big loss, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You lost a major opportunity.
All right, Ian, last one from me. Rounds 2 and 3 tonight. Where do you think the Colts target their efforts tonight? In a perfect world for the Colts, what's best-case scenario for them on day 2 of the draft here on Friday night?
Man, best case scenario, I would try and trade up for Cooper DeJean. I think he's a perfect fit for what they do. You know, a lot of people have asked me whether I view him as a safety or corner, and I usually view him as a safety. But in select schemes, like the Colts one that runs a lot of cover 3 zone where he can play side saddle with his eyes to the QB, I think he's got the explosiveness, the playmaking range, the football IQ to just be phenomenal in that scheme. So Cooper DeJean is worth it from a valuation perspective and a scheme fit perspective, where I would be willing to make a trade up from 46 to 33 to get that guy and make sure I get him.
Wow.
So, you know, if they do stand pat, I do think there's some options at wide receiver. Obviously, Troy Franklin is one who kind of fits that vertical scheme. And he's a little lighter. He's not great against physicality, but he is the type of explosive weapon that we've seen Shane Steichen willing to take a gamble on. Ben Sinnott from Kansas State, the tight end, is another one that I would be a big fan of. I actually comp him to Dallas Clark, so I think he can be a really nice target funnel over the middle of the field. The fluidity for his size is absurd, and that was Dallas Clark's calling card, you know, being able to change direction, bend through stems, the toughness after the catch and at the catch point. I think Ben Sinnott provides that as well. And then if they decide to go defensive, right, corner Kool-Aid McKinstry could be an option, TJ Tampa potentially, although they might want a faster guy. Max Melton from Rutgers is another one. And then at safety as well, I think there's room to maybe consider a guy with some versatility like Javon Bullard. But my preference would be Cooper DeJean. I think he's good enough. He's a good enough fit. I'll be aggressive to get him.
How quickly do the Colts, I mean, how much urgency do the Colts need to have? How quickly off the board do you see Franklin and DeJean going off tonight?
Franklin, I think, could fall a little bit. I think if you want Franklin, you might be able to get him at 46. And, you know, at the same time, too, Cooper DeJean, like, I would value him. I would be willing to trade up, but I don't know what these other teams are thinking. I don't think New England has a need for him. I don't think he's a great scheme for fit for their scheme. They could take him, right? But I think there he might be more of a safety hybrid. Arizona could take him at 35. So if you want Cooper DeJean, you know, I would play it safe. I would try to get that 33rd spot, box out at the rim, and just get your guy. But if you want Troy Franklin or another vertical wide receiver like Jalen McMillan or Jermaine Burton, if you're willing to take a chance with the character, I think you can wait on those guys and maybe get them mid-round too.
NFL draft analyst for ProFootballNetwork.com. Check out his stuff. He lives and breathes football. Love it. Earlier, you heard the comparison, Liatu Latu, Sean Merriman. A good comparison right there, and Colts fans are ready for a dominant player on the defensive side of the ball. Do you want to take a crack at the 25 draft right now as far as who you think the Colts will zero in on?
Don't Don't do it, Ian. Come on. Don't do it. Don't give him that satisfaction.
Let me check my spreadsheet because I might have made the pick already.
Oh, God.
All right, next week.
I'll let you read it later.
Attaboy.
But, it'll be a fun class for wide receivers, I think. I think a lot of opportunity on tap. We don't know exactly what's going to happen, but we can always look a little bit to the future. So
excellent.
That is on deck.
Excellent, man. Enjoy your work. And fans, if you're an NFL fan, follow him on Twitter X at IC_draft. That's Ian Cummings, NFL draft analyst from ProFootballNetwork.com. Ian, appreciate the time and have a good couple of next days. I know you'll be busy. Get some sleep on Sunday night.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
Hey, big thanks to Ian Cummings right there. Colts fans, be sure to stay up to date. Sorry.
Your 2025 question.
I mean, what?
Give the guy a break.
I mean, if you're going to put it out there.
We haven't even had round two yet.
Bro, he was on Twitter X. He's like, I'm coming up with one shortly. Stay tuned. So I thought I'd hit him up. Hey, Colts fans, you want more info? Well, we got it for you. A couple of great things that go on during the draft, especially, I love it, is the Instant Reaction and Overtime podcast after each day of the 2024 NFL Draft. They're here. They're ready to be listened to. It's on the Colts Audio Network, available on Colts.com, your Colts mobile app, and wherever you download your podcast. Now, when we come back, we're going to give you the Forum Credit Union question of the week regarding Liatu Latu's selection with the 15th overall pick, and try to predict how night number two we're going to shake out for the Colts in the NFL draft. Matt Taylor, Jeffrey Gorman, this is The Last Word. We're back with more right here on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
We now return to the offseason home of the Colts, The Last Word, with Jeffrey Gorman and Matt Taylor from the Indiana Union Construction Industry Radio Studio.
Draft night number two coming up pretty soon, a couple hours, folks. Don't forget The Last Word right here, brought to you by our friends at Meijer, the official supercenter of the Colts and proud sponsor of hundreds of local sports teams across the Midwest. Maytay, let's get a Forum Credit Union question of the week out of the way here.
All right.
We're going to do it with the Colts' 15th overall pick last night in the NFL draft, Liatu Latu. Okay, last night, we're going to go back a few years. Who's the last defensive end to be drafted higher than 15 for the Colts?
Oh, goodness. Man, do you really have to go back to...
They're not that far. And you better, and if you're going to put some sunglasses on, because a gold jacket might be looking at you right in the face, Maytay.
Oh, good hint. All right. I was going to say Robert Mathis, but he was a fifth-round pick.
Right.
So, great hint. It's got to be Dwight Freeney. Can't believe, what was that, 2001?
2002. He was taken number 11 overall, and
wow.
He will be putting that gold jacket on in a couple of months from now. Forum Credit Union, always bringing you the latest. You can go to Colts.com to interact with other fans online. Post a topic, participate in various discussion regarding your Colts. Forum Credit Union, helping members live their financial dreams. Maytay, let's get out of here because a lot's coming on right now. We got some basketball,
yes,
and
sir.
NBA draft. Where can we follow us here? Right now, you're listening to us, 93.5, 107.5 The Fan, but give me some NFL info on the draft.
Absolutely, yeah. Later on tonight, we're going to be broadcasting the entire night tonight. Rounds 2 and 3, that's going to be on 93 WIBC because of, obviously, the Pacers taking over the airwaves here in just a matter of moments on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan. So all night long tonight, rounds 2 and 3, 93 WIBC streaming on Colts.com and the Colts mobile app, and then we'll also simulcast this bad boy on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan once the Pacers are over. But long story short, IBC all night long and streaming on Colts.com and the Colts mobile app.
May take good stuff today. We got the Pacers continuing the march. They got Paul McKeskey, Kent Benson, and the Bucks tonight.
Kent Benson.
Didn't he play for the Bucks? Didn't he?
I think he did, yeah.
Sidney Moncrief, I think. Didn't he play for
the
him
legendary
back in the
Hoosier.
Love it.
Yeah,
anyway, go Pacers. We're going to be here today. We're going to be here tomorrow bringing you the latest with the NFL draft. For Matt Taylor, I'm Jeffrey Gorman. Go Colts tonight. Chris Ballard and company doing what they're doing. And Maytay, need a big night out of you tonight. You got it in you?
Likewise. Let's roll, brother.
We'll talk to you next week.